Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not Flash Gordon anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
The Lightning Bolt, Usain Bolt, started the European leg of his final season before retirement with a victory in the 100 meters at the Golden Spike meet in Ostrava, Czech Republic. After a slightly sluggish start, the Lightning Bolt reeled in the rest of the field and crossed the finish line in 10.06 seconds. The Jamaican star says it wasn't a good race, and he wasn't happy with his time. But he thinks he'll be fine ahead of the World Championships in London, a little more than 5 weeks away. The 30-year-old Bolt is planning to retire after the Athletics Festival in the British capital. Before the Ostrava meet, the 8-time Olympic champion reflected on his career.
For me, it's just been a great career, you know what I mean? And I've really enjoyed the ups and downs, all the experience I've gathered, all that I've been through, the happiness, the sadness. It's just been a wonderful career, you know what I mean? And for me now, I've done everything I wanted to, and it's coming to an end now, and I'm fine with it.
Usain Bolt says he's looking forward to seeing the young sprinters who emerge as the next Olympic and world champions.
I'm definitely excited just to sit and watch and to see who's going to be the next Olympic champion, I mean, over 100 and 200 meters, because there's a lot of young stars coming up. I've watched the U.S. Well, I didn't watch. I've heard the result in the U.S. trials. I see youngsters in the Jamaican trials. So for me, there's a lot of potential coming through. So for me, it's going to be exciting to see who's really going to step up and to be a champion. And when it comes to coaching, my coach is really pushing me hard to try to get into coaching. So I think maybe next season I'll be at the track a lot. Well, I won't be a coach, but I'll oversee and watch. He really wants me to be a part of the racers group as much as possible. So I'll definitely try to be a part of that.
In other results from the Ostrava meet in the Czech Republic, Olympic 400-meter champion Wade Van Niekerk of South Africa set a world best in the rarely run 300-meter race, clocking 30.81 seconds. For the second time in less than a year, Van Niekerk broke a mark held by the retired American Michael Johnson. In 2000, Johnson set the previous world 300 meters best of 30.85 seconds. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember at last year's Rio Games in Brazil, Wade Van Niekerk broke Michael Johnson's 400-meter world record with a time of 43.03 seconds. Now, some of our Voice of America listeners might be wondering, Sonny, you mentioned world best and world record. What's the difference? Well, here, let me try to explain it to you. In athletics, here's a simple definition. If the distance or event is held at an Olympics or a World Championships, it's a world record. If not, we'll put it in the world best category. The 300 meters distance is not run at the Olympics or at the World Championships. That's why Wade Van Niekerk's new mark gets a world best designation. Earlier, we heard Usain Bolt talking about watching the young emerging stars in track and field. Well, 24-year-old Wade Van Niekerk is definitely one of them. He was one of five African winners at the Ostrava meet. Kenya's Nicholas Kipkoech won the men's 1,000 meters race in 2 minutes and 18.51 seconds. Another Kenyan, Benjamin Keegan, won the men's 3,000 meters steeplechase in a personal best of 8 minutes and 11.54 seconds. Ethiopia's Gudaf Segai won the women's 1,500 meters race in just under 4 minutes, 1 second. And Ivorian sprinter Marie-Josée Talou won the women's 200 meters race in 22.44 seconds. Last year in Rio de Janeiro, the Ivorian athlete was just outside the Olympic medals podium in both the 100-meter and 200-meter races, finishing fourth in both events. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to two Olympic champions who won their competitions at that meet in Ostrava, Czech Republic. American Christian Taylor won the triple jump with a distance of 17.57 meters. And Britain's Mo Farah won the men's 10,000 meters race in just over 27 minutes, 12 seconds. The Somalia-born Farah, 34 years of age, is planning to leave the track after the World Championships in London, and Mo says he'll focus on the marathon distance. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Now let's go to Russia's Black Sea coastal city of Sochi, where Mexico is meeting reigning World Cup champion Germany this evening in the second semifinal at the FIFA Confederations Cup football tournament. The winner will play Chile in Sunday's final in St. Petersburg, Russia. Chile beat Portugal Wednesday 3-0 on penalty kicks in Kazan, Russia, to win the trip to St. Petersburg. Mexico's all-time leading scorer is Bayer Leverkusen man Javier Chicharito Hernandez. Chicharito has 48 career goals for the Mexican team, which after the Confederations Cup will travel here to the United States to compete in the CONCACAF Gold Cup Regional Championship Tournament. At the pre-match news conference in Sochi, Chicharito was asked about the roster moves made in the tournament by Mexico's head coach, Juan Carlos Osorio.
Any player who plays in any match against any rival, they don't make so much difference. No, it doesn't matter if they play in Mexico, if they play in Europe, in the top clubs or not. I think that's one of the biggest qualities, and that's why, as well, the trainer decided to make a lot of rotations, because we have 23 top players that we want to play, we want to do our best. And we're going to try to do that against Germany. Now, of course, the world champion, and it's going to be a very, very good match, and we're very happy to be in this semifinal.
Mexican football star Javier Chicharito Hernandez speaking ahead of this evening's semifinal match against Germany at the FIFA Confederations Cup in Sochi, Russia. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute and say bravo for Chile's goalkeeper, Claudio Bravo, who made three penalty kick saves in Wednesday's semifinal against Portugal. Bravo stopped penalty shots by Ricardo Quaresma, Joao Moutinho, and Nani to lift Chile to its third consecutive international final after winning consecutive Copa America titles. Arturo Vidal, Charles Arangues, and Alexis Sanchez all scored for Chile in the shootout. Bravo, boys!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
One of the new sports at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics will be climbing, in which athletes tackle walls of various heights and complexities to reach the top as fast as possible. Many of South Africa's climbers, ranging in age from 5 to their late 60s, are training at the City Rock Complex in Johannesburg. It's Africa's first world-class climbing gym and one of the biggest in the world. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a feature by Darren Taylor.
A young woman struggles up a high wall inside the City Rock gym. The colors of the athletes' outfits match those of the concrete. Royal blue, fire engine red, and mustard yellow. Everywhere there are people grunting and wheezing up ropes, trying to grab the grips to pull themselves to the summit. They use specialized equipment, like climbing shoes.
They have a nice reinforced toe with a sticky rubber. Allows you to get good surface tension on your toes.
Spider-Man,
exactly. And then obviously a harness if you're going to be doing the high wall problems. So the harness you tie in with a rope, and you have a belay partner who's feeding the rope through a device to make sure you don't come crashing to the ground.
City Rock manager Kelly Bishop explains that belaying secures someone on a rope. A partner maintains tension on it, so if the climber slips, there's a safety measure in place.
So you don't actually fall, you just hang, and then obviously they lower you back down to the ground at a controlled speed. When you're climbing, you actually do better the more calm and controlled you are, and moving slowly and making sure you're safe the whole time, the chance for injury is almost zero.
And when you pull your rope, you get a figure of eight. That's your first basic.
One of Bishop's instructors shows a beginner the ropes, literally. The trainers teach non-slip knots and how to put a safety harness on. Bishop says climbing makes people very fit because it combines strength and endurance, adding muscle, but not bulk.
Because you're basically fighting gravity the whole way up, you will build to your natural body shape. It's a full body workout. You're using your fingertips, your toes, your core muscle, your upper body, even your brain, because you're problem solving as you're going. How should I move my hands, etc.
So we're like back to baby steps.
Climbers from around the world exercise at City Rock. Bishop describes climbing as a lifestyle choice practiced by a wide range of people.
We got doctors, we got lawyers, there's lots of students and school kids. Because it's so social, besides the fitness side, it's a lot of fun. You get to meet really down-to-earth people and feel part of a community.
One of them is vegan baker Pixie Fanek. She describes climbers as a special breed.
They're not to run-of-the-mill people. They're generally a little bit more aware about what's happening in the world environmentally and such. So they're much more inclined to be open-minded.
Bishop says climbing's popular with women.
Women do really well because it's not a brute strength sport. Some of the top climbers internationally are women, and you can compete with the guys head-to-head. It's not about how much weight you can pick up. Sometimes it's just about technique and moving your body in a certain way and not just powering over.
As hectic as it looks and sounds in the gym, yoga teacher Neon Khlapo says climbing helps her to meditate.
My heart rate tends to lower unless I'm going through some ledge fever, which is like an unexpected panic attack on the wall. But usually you don't have the room to think about anything else when you are on a wall. You're really in the moment and you're really focused.
But Khlapo wasn't always so composed. She describes her first outdoor cliff climb as terrifying.
I was climbing 1 minute and then I just burst into tears the next. And I think the episode lasted a good solid 15 minutes because I was like, if there is a God, God, I'll behave. Just get me off this thing.
Van Eck's battling autoimmune disease, where the body's immune system attacks healthy cells. This could lead to a variety of potentially fatal conditions, including organ failure.
I can't tell you how sick I was last year. I was in hospital. I was having an operation. I thought my life was just this big blob. Boom, I started climbing. I am a million times better. It's amazing. The only thing that saved me was climbing. I got on the wall and I was like, I'm home.
Van Eck says climbing strengthens her body and mind to fight her illness. From being overweight and bedridden, she now conquers nature's steep, jagged rock faces.
That for me is the ultimate. When you're on that rock, man, it's like being alive. Oh my gosh, there's this mountain. It's been there for millions and millions of years, and I'm getting to stick my body to it and challenge myself.
Across South Africa, people like Van Eck are using climbing gyms to boost their physical and mental health, with some using them as launch pads to possible Olympic glory. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Thank you, Darren. Enjoyed that. And I gotta say, love the Gunners. Love the Gunners. Welcome to the jungle. And welcome back to Studio 22, Andrew Palcheski.
Good to be here, Sonny, as always.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, the Chicago Cubs are in town to play the Washington Nationals in Major League Baseball. And since the Chicago Cubs are the reigning World Series champions, that means, of course, a trip to the White House. So coordinating their visit to Nationals Park and their visit to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the address of the White House. So the Cubs meeting with President Trump and Vice President Pence, both getting jerseys. Vice President Pence getting one that has his name on the back and number 16. President Trump getting one with his name on the back that says 45, and that's because he is the 45th president of the United States. Maybe not a baseball fan, though, President Trump, or not one that's been able to keep up with the scores. You know, it's not like he's busy or anything, right? Running the country, he's, you know. So he asked the players there how the Nationals were doing. Maybe he should have asked how the Cubs were doing, I don't know. But was talking about some of the baseball teams, how they were doing. And the Cubs said that they're likely to meet the Nationals in the playoffs, and they said they're going to shred them. So strong words from the Cubs there for in the heart of Nats Nation here in the nation's capital. The team also invited President Trump. They said, you know, if you want to check it out, you can just head on down the road, come see us at the baseball stadium. We're going to be there tonight playing. Unfortunately for them, President Trump did not take up that offer. He passed on heading to the game there at Nationals Park. But lots of Cubs ownership is there as well, in addition to the players, and it's actually some interesting political connections. Pete Ricketts, who is part owner of the Cubs along with members of his family, he is the governor of the state of Nebraska. He and Trump are both Republicans, so I'm sure they got along and had a lot of politics to talk about in addition to sports. but as we've talked about with other instances, like when the New England Patriots came to the White House earlier this year after they won the Super Bowl, we did see some players choose not to go to the White House because of their disagreements politically with the president. Carl Edwards Jr., who's a relief pitcher, his line was being shared across social media. He said, I've got other things to do around the city. I'm trying to find the dinosaur museum. I'd rather check out the dinosaurs. So maybe spot him at the Natural History Museum, not too far from our VOA headquarters here. But all in all, it seemed like it was a successful visit there for the Cubs in the Oval Office of the White House.
Well, it hasn't been exactly successful on their road trip here to Washington, Andrew. For all those Cubs fans out there, they haven't exactly shredded the Nationals this week. Nationals so far have won two of the three games, and I'm just checking the box score. They won on Wednesday, the Nationals. They beat the Cubs by a score of 8-4. Shout out for Steven Strasburg. He got the win for the Nationals. Strasburg now 9 wins and 2 losses for the year. Maybe they'll meet again in the playoffs, Andrew.
And that's what the Cubs are hoping. I mean, certainly the Cubs want to go back to the playoffs. And if they meet the Nationals, it should be a pretty interesting matchup, at least based on this series. I don't know if it's going to be an easy matchup for the Cubs, but we'll see.
And it is a long season, so we'll see how it progresses. A
lot of baseball yet to happen. We shall see.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, the Atlanta Hawks are renovating their arena at a cost of nearly $200 million. And so they've released some mock-ups of what this newly renovated arena is going to look like, and those are making the rounds on social media for some interesting choices that they've made in this arena. For one, they will have the first NBA courtside bar where you can actually watch the game live and go to the bar, get a beer, and be right on the court practically, or right on floor level there, so you can watch the game while you're hanging out with your friends there. That is one that fans have said is pretty cool. They're excited to check that out. The next couple, they said, are a little bizarre. They're planning on having a barber shop in the stadium. Looks like it's in a suite above the court, so you can actually look down with these big windows in front of you to watch the game while you're getting a haircut. Just make sure you don't jump up in excitement during a great play or something, or when they're scoring. Don't jump up while you're getting your haircut. That might be a bit painful. And then there's suites. You know, every stadium has suites now for the big spenders. There are a couple suites with virtual golf. So you play golf in front of a screen, mocked up as though it's a golf course. It has a video of the golf course. So you're as though you're playing golf on the course, but you're just standing there in the room. So fans saying those two particular things, sounds like the Atlanta Hawks don't want people to watch the games. They'd rather have them come there and, run errands or play golf and whatever. So it's a little distracting, they said. These perks seem a little out of place. Other people saying it's as far as a waste of money and gimmicks. So not a lot of love for some of these features so far. Some fans still say they want to get their haircut there. They've already planned it. They're like, I know what haircut I want. I want to get this. I want to go there. And it's going to be great. So mixed bag.
That reminds me, Andrew, of a story you shared with us a few months ago. I think it was in New York. The Knicks shut off the music in their arena to have the fans just concentrate on the basketball.
Yeah, so this is 180 degrees opposite direction. You've got sensory overload. You've got the bar. You've got the barber shop. You've got the Top Golf. It's a lot. So fans are eager to check it out, but they think it's maybe a little much.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, a day after the blockbuster Chris Paul trade that we talked about yesterday, going from the LA Clippers to the Houston Rockets, another trade in Houston is making headlines on social media, but for some different reasons. And that's because the Portland Trailblazers traded guard Tim Quarterman to the Houston Rockets for cash considerations. We see this from time to time. Players get traded and they get cash in return. So Portland had some fun with this. They put out a tweet introducing their newest player, cash considerations. And they had a press conference in Portland where they put a bag of money up to the microphone. It was their opening press conference there with cash considerations. Even fans going as far to create a mock jersey with considerations on the back as cash considerations. That would, I guess, be its last name. Now, this could be a trend because the Atlanta Hawks traded Ryan Kelly to Houston for cash considerations. They tweeted that out, and they had the emoji that was the pondering emoji, as if to say, maybe we should try this out. So we might be hearing more about cash considerations in the coming days.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the June 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to Voice of America engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
United Nations peacekeepers play a critical role in providing stability in regions recovering from conflict. They can prevent outbreaks of violence and stabilize weak or failed governments, which can serve as havens for terrorists or transnational criminal organizations that foster conditions for mass atrocities. Peacekeeping missions are a critical tool for promoting peace and reconciliation in some of the world's most troubled countries, wrote Major General Michael Rothstein, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Plans, Programs, and Operations in the Bureau of Political Military Affairs. Today, more than 113,000 UN personnel from 124 countries serve in peacekeeping roles in 16 missions around the world, in Africa, the Middle East, the Caribbean, and Europe. The diverse, robust, and demanding mandates of each of these missions see peacekeepers working to contain violent groups, protect civilians, bolster stability, and promote health and well-being. One of the important ways the United States government supports UN peacekeeping is through the Global Peace Operations Initiative, a security assistance program coordinated by State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs. The initiative strengthens international peacekeeping capacity by helping to train and equip peacekeepers to carry out the work that is required of them. To maximize effectiveness, program managers need to understand peacekeeping requirements and shortfalls. That is why representatives from key U.S. government organizations and the United Nations met for 5 days in mid-June at the 11th Global Peace Operations Initiative Worldwide Consultations, sponsored by the State Department's Bureau of Political Military Affairs and the Defense Department's Office of the Secretary of Defense. Participants discussed the evolving nature of peacekeeping, ways to strengthen performance and operational readiness of peacekeeping units, and efforts to address sexual exploitation and abuse by peacekeepers. United Nations peacekeepers play an indispensable role in advancing the cause of peace and security in a world ever more burdened by violence and instability, wrote Deputy Assistant Secretary Rothstein. This is a difficult task, and the United States is committed to working with like-minded countries to continue to push for both greater effectiveness and fiscal efficiency in this important mission. As a leading source of financial, technical, and material support for building peacekeeping capacity, the United States demonstrates its ongoing commitment to effective UN peace operations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical jam. I guarantee.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa. Join me every weekday mornings at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports.
My name is Edward Ameyibo. I listen to Daybreak Africa to be abreast with developments on the continent. I encourage you to do the same.
You can also be a part of the show through our listeners' mail segment. Just send your views to daybreakafrica@voanews.com or call us on 202-205-9942. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.